Rob U Sports countdown to kickoff. I spark conversation like flicking the bake off. Late night shows and flows like Leno. Sports book probably like Vegas or Reno. Bodyguard Gino and Sky Boss Casino the Nino. Good fella from food and beverage. Robbie U, Pharaoh Knicks, Golden Boy 2. Leverage Bingo Jackpot plays like Tracy Ette. It's Rob U Sports, you down, get set ready. It's Rob U Sports, you down, get set ready. It's Rob U Sports, you down, get set ready. Here we go. Season seven. Yo. I want to welcome you back to the Rob U Sports Show. NFL 2024 going into NFL Draft 2024. Also, the beginning of free agency. So this is always a pivotable, important time of year for NFL teams as they begin to reconstruct their franchises with talent and personnel decisions. Also could be coaching changes, front office changes, ownership changes, as well as rule changes and, you know, re-signing, tagging players and deciding who will be a part of your franchise and team moving forward. But before we touch on this, I would be remiss if I did not mention my pick for the Super Bowl, one of my best picks for the season. The Kansas City Chiefs 26 over the 49ers 23, with the actual score 25-22, a 1-point differential with the exact difference in points. So that was just one of my better picks of the season and of the history of the Rob U Sports Show, especially to come in the championship NFL Super Bowl. That just made it that much more special, and glad I could share that moment with y'all of acing a Super Bowl pick to the percentage like that. I mean, sometimes I even can amaze myself, but, you know, it's just, I can't predict what's going to happen. Sometimes it just happens that way. And it was one of my better picks of the season. And this is why I do what I do. I want y'all to see that average podcaster can still compete with the major networks and the major brands and announcers and hosts on a larger platform, because they could not do what I can still do, as even as somebody who's not on TV. You watch this because, you know, you may have come across it or it came in your algorithm miraculously, but this is just why I do the Rob U Sports Show. To show some of these announcers on TV with the big mouths and all the personality and all the brashness, they could not predict a Super Bowl outcome in a similar fashion as myself. Somebody who played the game in high school and followed the game college-wise, NFL-wise, studied the game, and have my own idea and perception of what makes a NFL team successful and what kind of coaching and personnel, roster, players that you need, leadership, you know, front office-wise, coach-wise, leadership that you need to be successful in the league, and also putting it all together, X's and O's-wise, executing during the game, making those key plays, calling the right play at the right time, situational football, all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. And, you know, it was a good feeling for me to see that I was, you know, correct in my assessment of how the game will play out for the Super Bowl and how the teams actually ended up, you know, doing that thing. So, definitely, if y'all checked out the Super Bowl special, you will see the pick. If you didn't see it already, you know, yes, I did get that pick just that close. And I was, you know, I was glad of that. So, let's take a look at some of the top NFL stories as we go into free agency and also the NFL draft. Coming right up. So, welcome back to the Rob U Show. And like I was saying before with that, San Fran lost to the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Of course, you know, they had to find someone to blame. And the person they ended up blaming was going to be defensive coordinator Steve Wilks. And Steve Wilks became the latest in the long line of sometimes black head coaches getting scapegoated for losses, or, you know, he was basically running a defense that wasn't his. And also, there had been some tension earlier in the season with him and Shanahan as far as them wanting him to coach from the sideline instead of from the booth, as he may have preferred. And also, this is a man who's already been passed over several times for a head coaching position. And one thing about that game, it exposed the flaw for the San Fran offense, that if the defense, you know, has more leverage in the running game with that zone rush, defense is going to come to you, so you don't have a chance to go upfield and meet the defense. And also, San Fran weaponry could have been limited to maybe Debo was a little injured or a little banged up, maybe more than a little, and he wasn't 100%, of course, it's late in the season. Also, could have had some more depth as far as other weapons besides Ayuk and C-Mac to give San Fran just a little more explosiveness and depth with their explosives late in the season, late in the push, because definitely the Chiefs defense had that number the whole game. It was just a matter of the Chiefs offense getting in gear. But for them to blame Steve Wilks when he got them that far to even make the Super Bowl, that speaks volumes in itself. You rarely see a Super Bowl defensive coordinator get fired for making the Super Bowl. Maybe they didn't win, but maybe there's more that the 49ers offense could have did. But that's just my personal opinion. But I felt definitely Steve Wilks, African-American scapegoat, and we've seen this before in corporate America, before the NFL. You know, there's been other lame duck coaches that, so to speak, but no, Steve Wilks would definitely probably get another opportunity. It was just so late in the coaching cycle, hiring cycle, that he got fired, making it to the Super Bowl. He didn't have an opportunity to go on some of those interviews where teams probably wanted to speak with him. But wishing the best moving forward. With Steve Wilks being let go of the 49ers defensive coordinator, and we'll see who they bring in that position. Also, coming up next, will the Bears choose Justin Fields or Caleb Williams? Well, I think the writing's on the wall. And going into the draft, one of the top stories is what will the Chicago Bears do with the quarterback position with the opportunity to draft Caleb Williams out of USC? Also, while still having Justin Fields, the young dual-threat quarterback out of Ohio State, how will they decide if they're going to trade him? What is his trade value? What are they looking to get from him? Or was it just take the highest offer, best offer they can get? Or do they want to trade him out of the division, out of the conference? But with Caleb Williams, even with having a high draft pick, is he NFL ready? Does he possess those tools to lift teammates and make his teammates better and be a leader of men at this level? Are there any concerns with maturity or off-the-field issues or diva-like tendencies or different things we may have seen from him? Some people say he may have been too emotional crying after a game, and there's also people speaking on him doing his nails and things like that. But, you know, these are his younger generation of kids. They into different things. They into skinny jeans, you know? But, I mean, will Caleb Williams really be able to lift the Bears to another level offensively and take the team where their team is trying to go? Or are they better off staying with Justin Fields and just giving him a few more weapons to see if he can reach his potential? But do they fear having to pay him if he earns the money when they can start fresh with Caleb Williams, who most feel could be a can't-miss prospect, but who really is a can't-miss prospect in the NFL? They're only really a chosen few who have that kind of longevity and career success to kind of live up to a lot of the hype. For a lot of these quarterbacks, we've seen some quarterbacks come out of USC and come into the NFL, and they haven't really, you know, besides Carson Palmer, we've seen other high-profile quarterbacks come out of USC. You know who I'm talking about. And they haven't really made their bones, so to speak, as NFL starting quarterback. And there's also was the thing of Ohio State quarterbacks and I think C.J. Stroud has helped prove that wrong, and we'll see if Justin Fields can contribute to that wherever he may land this year, with there also already being rumors of Fields going to potentially, they had mentioned the Falcons, they had also mentioned, you know, they mentioned a few other teams, but the Falcons have also been said to be maybe a target for Kirk Cousins, who's believed, obviously, to be the top free agent quarterback in this offseason. But like I said, what will the Bears end up doing here? It's looking like they're going to end up trading Fields, but the word is around the combine is that the longer they hold Fields, the less value he's going to have, because then they basically are going to have to draft Caleb Williams, because, you know, they've already basically put it out there, like, you know, we're going to get rid of Fields. So now the rest of the NFL is not like going to, you know, give you a high draft pick or, you know, reward you for wanting to offload the quarterback you already have. It's like, well, you getting rid of him. Why are you getting rid of him? Why are you drafting Caleb Williams? It's like, you want us to give you this for that when you're getting rid of him? It's like, you already said you were going to get rid of him, so we don't have to, you know, accommodate you with that, because you already said you're going to get rid of him. So now it's more of a buyer's market than a seller's market, because it's almost like you're getting rid of something that you want to try to appreciate the value in, but if he was so valuable, why are you getting rid of him type thing? So we'll see what the Bears end up getting for Fields, if they end up dealing him, which it looks like they will. And also, how will Caleb Williams perform with that Bears offense if indeed he does go to the Bears and they don't find a way to get him in Washington Commanders, because he is from the Washington area? Or we'll see what happens with Fields, where he will end up playing this year, and if he does go to the Falcons or another destination, we'll see. But the Bears feeling Fields or Caleb Williams, we're about to see. And one of the other top stories in the NFL news was Cam Newton having another fight with kids at a camp. But this was time, it wasn't arguing, they wasn't jonesing and cracking on each other or talking shit back and forth. This time, it was a physical altercation. I believe Cam was trying to break up a fight, and it seemed like a small group of young men tried to surround Cam and come after him. So this is just what we hate to see in the black community, the ignorance and the lack of guidance and composure and people knowing how to behave properly when you have an opportunity to meet somebody like Cam Newton and interact with him. He's trying to help you with your game or reach some of your goals as a football player. And for those young men to think it was okay to come after Cam or try to attack him, I mean, even fighting at the camp is out of the question, unacceptable, inexcusable. But they come after the person who's hosting the camp and trying to provide for the campers, it shows a disconnect and a lack of respect, a lack of maturity, a lack of knowing how to compose and behave yourself when you're in this kind of setting. And, you know, you have to know how to resolve conflicts without violence and ignorance. You got to know how to present yourself and compose yourself when you're around people who can give you game and jewels and knowledge and help you become a better person and a better man and a better athlete and a better player. And that's just something that we hate to see, these young men disrespecting Cam or thinking it's okay to, you know, disrespect elders. You know, I'm from the era in the generation of you respect your elders. And when you didn't respect your elders, people would give you a reason to give them respect. But it's different in this generation now. People want to clout chase and try to, you know, embarrass people and make people look bad just for some views or some likes, or to seem like you can be disrespectful to adults, and that's cool. So, sad to see it. So, one of the other top stories of the NFL offseason and free agency has been the running back market being saturated with so many quality running backs. We'll see what kind of deals some of these running backs can obtain with the recent devaluation of the running back position. But definitely some good names out here. King Henry, the Bruiser, who has the size and the speed. Josh Jacobs, physical runner with speed. And, you know, Saquon Barkley, the power and the elusiveness, the speed and acceleration. Also, the hands out the backfield. Austin Ekeler, receiving out the backfield and, you know, seasoned veteran. Tony Pollard from the Cowboys. And just a lot of nice quality running backs. We'll see where some of these running backs will land as the free agency period begins coming soon this offseason. And other NFL news, Buccaneers doing the right thing, re-signing their star receiver, Mike Evans, one of the top wide receivers in the league, 10 straight 1,000-yard receiving, has the height, has the speed, has the hands, and does everything for that receiving core along with Godwin. And would they be able to bring back Baker Mayfield to reunite him with his quarterback? We'll see, but definitely good for the Buccaneers here to re-sign Evans. And we see other teams franchising. Legarius Sneed by the Chiefs, he could be traded. A lot of teams are interested in his ability as a cornerback. Also, Brian Burns being franchised by the Carolina Panthers, one of the top edge rushers and, you know, linemen in the league defensively. And Micah Parsons picking up that fifth year option for the Cowboys, that contract. But instead of doing it as a defensive end, which would have been cheaper than doing it as a linebacker, they decided to let the NFL Players Association decide. So, you know, they didn't want to make it seem like they was giving him the old okey-doke. And we'll see where quarterback Cousins is up playing. Will it be the Falcons, Washington, or the Vikings? And also, will the Commanders take Drake May with the new hype, or will they go with the quarterback out of LSU dual threat? We'll see. But I want to thank you for checking me out. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Be safe, be blessed, enjoy the draft, enjoy free agency, and we'll see when season 7 kicks off the Rob U Sports Show. Be safe, be blessed, see you on the next.